Good. So we're going to talk about the wonders of God. Because in the last couple of weeks, like Pastor Lisa was saying, we're away, we're out in nature, and we're out in nature. The wonders of God. So I want to talk to you today about the wonders of God. And if you're like me, you take things for granted. It's kind of, you see things, you experience things, and you just shrug and you move on, right? And you miss the amazement and the wonder of our God. Because our God has done great things. Sometimes they're big and obvious. They're so big and obvious that you overlook them. You take them for granted. And when we take them for granted, we're actually taking him for granted, aren't we? And look at creation. We sang those songs this morning about creation. So we've got the solar system, right? So Sir James Jeans, he was an astronomer, he said, a very famous one, he said, the universe appears to have been designed by a pure mathematician. He looked at the precision of it and said, the mathematics are incredible. I was at a men's retreat earlier this year with some, sitting at a table with, this will shock you, people that were smarter than me. That's the population, right? No, these actually were young graduate students. What were their degrees in, and post-grad students in math and computer science? And I said, when are you going to get smart enough to outgrow this religion thing that you're stuck in? You know, wink, wink. And they're like, oh, no, Pastor. The more you learn, the more you realize this. There's a God. And then when you look for the God, you narrow it down to the only way is Jesus. He says, you never, it's the dumb people that don't see it. He says, the smarter you are, he says, did you ever think of the mathematics of the universe? And I said, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee because I'm allergic to math. I actually break out. Joseph Campbell wrote this, there's a perception of a cosmic order which is mathematically definable. In other words, the universe didn't just happen, right? It's a precision, finely tuned creation. And as they theorized the order of the earth, the solar system, the universe, scientists and scholars, they come to the conclusion that the master planner, God, left nothing to chance. There's nothing to happenstance. This wasn't something that just exploded into being, right? The earth, my favorite planet, I don't know about you, but it's precisely slanted. Did you know that? 23 degrees. And if it wasn't, we wouldn't have seasons. We wouldn't have the four seasons. We only have two, I think, here in Chardon, but that's something different, right? But scientists tell us that if it was tilted differently, the vapors from the oceans would move north and south. And what you'd have is two giant continents of ice that would choke the planet. But it doesn't happen because it's tilted at just the right angle. We got that moon up in the sky. The moon is at a precise distance from the Earth. If it was 50,000 miles from the Earth, you know how far away it is? It's around 200,000 miles. If it was 50,000 miles from the Earth, the tides would be so strong that all the water would cover all the land, including the highest mountains. But it doesn't happen because God put the moon 200,000 miles away. Back to our planet, if the crust of the Earth was 10 feet thicker, there'd be no oxygen. There'd be no oxygen in the world, and all life would perish. And if the oceans were deeper than they are, there'd be the carbon dioxide and the oxygen would have been absorbed, and there'd be no vegetable life in the world. Do you know that the Earth's weight has been calculated? People, they figured out how much the Earth weighs. I'm contributing a little bit extra to it lately, but I'm going to work on that over the summer. The Earth weight has been estimated to be 6 sextillion tons. A sextillion is six sextillion, it's 6 with 21 zeros after it. Tons, that's the weight of the Earth. And yet, it's perfectly balanced. It's perfectly balanced, and it turns easily on its axis. It rotates daily at a rate of about 1,000 miles an hour. 25,000 miles each day is the distance it spins. Okay? That adds up to around 9 million miles a year. You got all that? Six sextillion tons rolling about at this fantastic speed on this invisible axis, held in place by gravitational force, unseen bands of it. It's all very incredible, right? Here's what God says about it. Job 26:7 says, He spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing. The earth is just there. It's incredible weight. It's tilted at just the right angle. It's spinning at all this speed. It doesn't fly off. You don't fly off. It's amazing. The earth is not just spinning in its own orbit. It's spinning around on its own axis. It's also in an orbit, right? And we're moving around the sun at 19 miles a second. Or, if you haven't done the math, 1,140 miles an hour. And they want to give me a speeding ticket. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I mean, this is absolutely incredible stuff, right? And we take all this for granted. And people shrug their shoulders and say, so what? But God says this in Job 37:14. He says, listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Stop and consider God's wonder. Consider, it means to think about God's wonders. We're not just to take it for granted, especially the more we know about it. Consider the sun. Every square yard of the sun's surface is emitting constantly an energy level of 130,000 horsepower. Every square yard, 3x3, 130,000 horsepower. That's the equivalent of 450 V8 engines going full throttle. And the material that's creating this burns hotter than coal. And it's, you think of the sun, and then you think of the solar system, right? The major planets in our solar system, they range in distance from the sun, 36 million miles, the closest one, to 3 trillion miles, to the furthest one. And yet, they orbit in precise order. The closest planet takes 88 days for a year. The furthest one, 248 years. And yet they're in total synchronous thing. It's absolutely incredible. And then you think that the sun is just a minor star. Just a minor star. In the 100 billion stars, maybe, that comprise our Milky Way galaxy, and that's just our galaxy. Listen, if you were to take a dime and hold out a dime at arm's length at night, and hold it up to the starry sky, you would be, and so the dime would be blocking your vision at arm's length, a dime. You'd be blocking out 15 million stars if your eye could see it. That's the vastness of our universe, if you had the power to see them. We're reminded of Isaiah, his thoughts here. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. He's named all these stars. He's named all these planets. He's named all these galaxies. He doesn't come up short on one of those. Here's what King David said about the wonders of the Lord. in Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is just a beautiful thing. David says this, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David asks, what is man? What is mankind that you would spare a thought for him with all this universe, with all this stuff, and yet you care for people? And you know, creation, all the wonders and intricacies of God's creation, they show us a power that blows us away. It should. It's incomprehensible, the power of God. It should leave you speechless. And we're blown away by his power and his intelligence compared to ours. And we get humbled by God's holiness, don't we? How far apart, how different he is than you and I are. We're humbled by it. And then we tremble before his power and his majesty. And yet, with all those things, we accept it. We say, wow, that's God and that's terrific. It's awesome, right? We accept the fact about what we've been talking about this morning. God's creation, the awesome creator, and we just accept it. But yet, we can't understand it, right? We don't understand how God does all this stuff, but we smile and we accept it. But the big question for us today is not about the creation of the planets and the stars or anything. It's the big question is, why can't you have that same awe and lack of understanding and acceptance of God's love? Why can't you do the same for God's love? You accept all these things you don't understand about. And unless you want to tell me later, we'll have a cup of coffee, you tell me how God made the universe, how he's holding it together, I'm all ears. And you'll say, wow, how he does that. But you accept it. Why can't you do the same for God's love? Because his love is the most powerful thing in the universe. It's not the sun. And it's beyond your understanding. As President Obama once said, it's above my pay grade. It's above yours and mine to understand God, the unfathomable awesomeness of God. We don't question how God could make or sustain the universe. We just accept it. He's God. He can do everything. But this same God who is all powerful, he somehow can't forgive you? He somehow can't show love and forgiveness towards your friends and relatives that reject him? Well, they're lost. Really? Written them off? He can't deliver you from your particular sins, your habits, because he's too busy making the universe? The Apostle Paul said this, Romans 3:21. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Key word that keeps popping through there is the word all. Paul's speaking about this grace, this overwhelming love of the Father. It's poured out on everyone, on all who would accept and believe it. It's as unbelievable as the solar system. that should blow you away more than any of the facts and figures of the weight of the earth or any of those things, is that God would pour his grace and he would offer his love and salvation to every single human being, even the ones that hate him. He pours it out for them. Apostle Paul writes this in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. His salvation is for all people. Let me say it again, all people, in case you hadn't heard that, right? It's available to everyone. And you need to remember that, and I need to remember that. The invitation is for everyone. Get past the labels. Get past the labels. This is for Democrats and Republicans, okay? This is for gay or straight people. This is for globalist or nationalist. Get over it. Get past it. I'm disgusted by our culture. I'm seeing it going off a cliff again, and I'm not going with it. With everyone forming camps and standing on either side of the street and yelling at each other. Not me, okay? God's salvation is for everyone. We have to reach out to these people and not put more labels and barriers between us. The love of God is a powerful force. No, actually, I misspoke. Correction. The love of God is the most powerful force in our universe. It's stronger than the solar system. It's stronger than what's holding our planet in place is the love of God. It's a furious and a reckless love offered to all who would accept it. And it's our job to make that known. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, 24. And he was a pretty accomplished guy, by the way, this guy Paul. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. He says, and I echo that, all my life's accomplishments and joys are worth nothing to me compared to testifying or telling. What does that mean, testifying? Telling others about God's grace and God's love. So, just like the Apostle Paul, Acts 20, 32, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul says, I commit you to his grace to build you up and to share with others about God's love. Because the God who flung from his fingertips the universe with galaxies and suns and stars and made us this beautiful earth, he made children called people, right? In his image and likeness. Every single human being bears the image and likeness of God the Father. And he's worthy to be shared with anyone and everyone. Amen.